Yeah.
It's just that, yeah. It's just that Tony has the passage that I just don't want to mess Tony up. So I'm just going to get right to four questions. Hopefully we'll have time for four. If not, we'll save the questions for, there'll be a question and answer time after the service. So you'll be able to grab a coffee, catch a coffee in the lounge, and then just come back here for a question and answer after the service. But so I'm just going to ask, I'm going to start with the first question. I'm going to start with Philip and go down so that you know what's happening. So the question, first question I want to ask all of you is, what is your understanding of the divine, and how do you connect? And this is...
That comes along with it.
Yep, that comes along with it. And you have to almost kiss it. Okay.
Okay, so my understanding of the divine is it comes from a more paternalistic view of a God who we can't see. Those people who've come through Christianity will probably have a very similar perspective. God that's everywhere, God that's invisible, God that's increasingly, in my own personal experience, coming not from outside of me, but inside of me. And a God who demands obedience. The Jewish perspective on the world is a very legalistic, paternalistic, do this, do that. We speak about commandments. And so if I was an Orthodox Jew, my entire focus would be on following the things that I'm being told. As someone who's more progressive, more liberal, I get to work with my experience of what I believe godliness would be directing me toward. And I think I can leave it there.
So I actually wrote my answers down so that I wouldn't go on too long, Jennifer. My understanding of the divine, both personally and as a spiritualist, is that this source, which is called many things, God, Spirit, sustains all of creation. And that source exists everywhere, within us and around us. We all come from God, and we will eventually return to God. It is our number one principle. We are always able to connect to this source through sincere prayer, meditation, and even through nature. We believe that we are all sons and daughters of God.
Thank you, Diane. The Wiccan perspective on divinity is a little bit different from the Jewish or Christian perspective. First of all, we believe that there is both God and Goddess. And we believe that God and Goddess are ever-present, they are around us, they are us. So when you enter into a Wiccan circle, when you come onto a circle, you are frequently greeted by, "Thou art God," or "Thou art Goddess." Meaning that we look for the divine within each of us. And by doing so, we recognize the deep beauty that resides within every single individual. So we have a great respect for the world, for the environment, for the place that we live, and for our fellow human beings and animals, because we recognize all of that as being divine. Thank you.
Wow, everybody said it all, and I don't know what else to say. And I do believe as a Baha'i that the foundation of all religions are the same. And some of the differences are in the teachings that they basically are for the days that people live. Like problems that we had 2,000 years ago, 1,000 years ago, maybe we don't have them now, and we're 1,000 years from now. But anyways, about divinity, I believe as a Baha'i, and as I mentioned, I used to be a Muslim, and I do believe all the religions, basically, they believe in the same thing. God is unknowable essence, is the effulgence of the light of eternity, of the Son of Truth, of the Son of basically unity. God is one, and everything comes from God, but is not of God. What I mean by that, the sun that we see hopefully every day, the ray of the sun, the attributes of the sun, it's surrounding us and makes everything live and grow. But God is beyond what we are. I'm talking about the physical, material thing. So God is not this. God created this. And this is living because of God. But the attributes of God, everything is surrounding us. If I say I feel physically God, it doesn't fit. God is beyond humans' understanding. If we can understand God and put God in our mind, we minimizing and we limiting infinite. So we cannot fit the infinite in our mind, in our words, but we are living because of it. And God is God as long as we are, and God asks us to worship God, which is not a person, which is the center of unity and love. Worshipping doesn't mean just to say, God, forgive me. And this is all true. Worshipping is serving humanity. God says there is a jewel in you, but it's in the depth of mud and filth. And I want you and empower you with the worship, with the service. You can make that jewel shine and glorify. So God created us. We don't know the God, but we feel the ray of the sun, which is everything, as everybody said, it's surrounded by God, not physically.
What are the main tenets of your faith and its central message?
Thanks. If I were to look at Judaism from space and try to encapsulate what it is that this faith really teaches, and it teaches that there's a right and a wrong. It teaches that if you do what's right, things that you desire, things that we call good, good things will come to you. If you do things that are unhealthy or bad, bad things will come to you. It's a religion that's very, very legalistic. And if there's anything that Jewish tradition has given the world, it's our legalism. It's our clear distinction between what it is that we consider to be good or bad. Now, there's a little bit of a challenge when we grow up in, I'm going to call it a paternalistic religion like that, and that's with a classical kind of dad figure who will punish us if we do something that is unjust or is not good. When we do something bad, there was a revolutionary who came out of Judaism who said, you know what, when we're doing this, what we're completely ignoring is the motivation. What caused a person to do something that we consider to be either good or bad? That more compassionate piece that a mother could give. And so what I'm leading you to is one of the greatest teachers in Judaism and one of the people who the religion couldn't tolerate, and that's this rabbi called Jesus, who and the person who came in to complete what's missing in Judaism, a mother, Mary, who could give the balance to this paternalistic aspect that this wonderful faith brings to us. So I hope that provides some perspective. I'll pass that on.
Thank you, Philip. So the main beliefs of spiritualism is that we are spiritual beings having a human experience. We understand that we are eternal and that there is no death. We believe that divine guidance is available to all, and also that spiritual growth is available to all souls. Our main message is that we are spiritual beings, and that not only can we communicate with God, but also with loved ones in the unseen world of spirit, and that by doing so, we can receive healing and feel the power of love that surrounds us. My personal understanding is that love exists everywhere and is within all of us as we seek to understand it.
Thank you. You asked about the main tenet of our faith. We have a version of the Golden Rule, and it's known as the Wiccan Reed, and it goes like this. And it harm none, do what you will. Now, that seems pretty simplistic on the surface of it, but in fact, it goes much deeper because it is also tied intrinsically to the concept of personal responsibility. So rather than having specific laws, we have this one guiding principle, but it's up to each of us to determine what is harm. What is harmful to us? What is harmful to others? Because all of that is encompassed in the Wiccan Reed. And do what you will does not mean you get to do what you want to. It means that you do where your will takes you. You do what it is to contribute, to make this world a better place, to, again, falling back on that issue of personal responsibility. So the choices that we make are powerful, and it's tied again to something else which is known as the threefold rule. And the threefold rule basically tells us that whatever we do comes back to us threefold. So if you do things that are not life-serving, you will be paid back three times. If you do things that are life-serving, you will again be paid back three times. That, I think, is more of a general idea rather than a specific. I don't think that if I were to give you $5, you'd give me 15. That's not quite the way that works. So I just want to be really clear about that very, very strong ethic that we have of personal responsibility, that we are responsible for our actions, our thoughts, our deeds, and all of those are very powerful in creating our reality. So again, the tenet that we have is the Wiccan Reed, and it harm none, do what you will.
As I mentioned, I was searching as a Muslim. When the revolution happened in Iran, I decided not to be a Muslim. And then I thought I should be an atheist. I don't want to believe in anything. I want to do something for humanity. I want to do something for freedom, for friendship, for love. But I don't want to play with words. And I was 6 years old when my father became a Baha'i. I heard about the teachings of Baha'i faith. There was one teaching that I didn't like. And I said, I can't be a Baha'i. And Baha'is do not get into partisanship of political parties. Baha'is do participate in political, basically, decision-making of the community, but not getting into propaganda, but not getting into any parties. That's where the politics comes. That's where the lie comes. That's where the crime comes and all the deceiving things. And I couldn't comprehend that. I said, no, I cannot be a Baha'i. I am against this regime in Iran. So I have to believe in nothing. I know there is God, but I don't want to have a religion. Until I studied more and I matured up and I realized this reason that I don't want to be a Baha'i, not participating in politics, is not what I understood. And then I decided to be a Baha'i. And of the teachings of the Baha'i tenets, there are so many that they attracted me. One of them, as I mentioned, that the religions, they're all basically one. One teacher comes with different names in different times. It's the ray of the same sun. And then bring us guidance for the problems of that era, of that time. So basically is progressive revelation. And that sounded very good to me. And teachings of Baha'i faith is oneness of God. There is no doubt about that. There is one God and everybody is coming as a creation of God. And oneness of humanity. God says, I want you to be united, to understand that you are one. You all are one, which means there is no difference in creation of human. We may be tall and short, yellow and black and white. We may have different colors of eyes. We may even believe in different things, but we are one. Look at some of us have so many children. The children are different in thoughts and their looks, but they are our children and they're all for us. They have the same value. And then comes the equality of man and woman. I was in a family, eventually it was five sisters and five brothers. It was always sisters washing the dishes. It was always sisters doing this, doing that. In society, girls, women didn't have much of rights. That was really working with my mind. Says there is one bird of humanity with two wings, one male, one female. If they're not equally strong, the bird of society or humanity cannot fly. And then we have to have essential harmony of science and religion. We cannot always say, oh, no, religion and science, they don't collaborate. They do, and they do explain each other, and they can work together. And Abdu'l-Bahá says, if the religion causes separation, animosity, and war, and bitterness, you better leave that religion. No religion is better than that religion that causes disunity amongst a people. Elimination of any prejudice in all kinds, religious, race, nationality, wealth, education, whatever we think about it. Universal compulsory education. And again, it says that if a family doesn't have enough money to send all the children to school, has only for one child, that one child should be the girl of the family. And there should be spiritual solution for the economic problems of the world, not political. It has to be spiritual, and we can figure it out. And we have to have auxiliary language for the whole world, because sometimes we do not understand each other, and that's where the war comes. And of course, the last one is elimination of extreme wealth and poverty. These are what Baha'is believe in and work for. Thank you.
And the third question is, what are some prejudices and misconceptions that your faith has faced, and what clarity and understanding would you like to bring to us today?
Okay, so I've been having a tough time because I'm sure other people are better at telling me what the prejudices from Judaism, etc. are. What I can share is that there's a tension in Judaism between this word shalom, which most people know to mean peace. It's a greeting that we use to say hello and goodbye to one another. Shalom comes from the root for completeness, for wholeness. And so the tension is between this idea of wholeness and completeness and this idea of a chosen people, of distinction, differentiation, being special in some way, being God's chosen people. And from a psychological perspective, there's a lot of power in that, to provide a sense of belonging to people who crave, like every one of us needs to belong in order to be able to thrive. And so there are so many things within Judaism, our circumcision of young males, our choice of not eating certain pork products, and the whole aspect of being kosher, keeping the Sabbath. These are things that keep us separate and have allowed, with all the persecution over the millennia, these have allowed Jewish people to thrive and to survive and to be different and to consider themselves to be, or ourselves, to be better than everyone else, as a survival mechanism. So there's a lot of challenges that comes with that, that come with that, and I'll leave that with you.
So I'm sure there are many misconceptions about spiritualism. One of the things I get asked, well, what is that? And it is actually an authorized and legal religion and philosophy in Canada and most countries in the world. But the main misconception I think that we have to deal with is that we're in league with the devil. And that's a little tough for us because actually we don't believe in a devil. So, you know, that's a little hard. So most people, if they don't understand spiritualism, they've been raised to think that it is wrong to communicate with the world of spirit. And they fear what they don't understand. It could bring, if I could bring clarity to this, I would ask you to look at the life of the Master Jesus. He also communicated, firstly, with the divine, but also with many unseen beings. He also was a prophet, a teacher, and healer. And we believe as spiritualists in his beautiful words and the deeds that he did. So thank you.
We share a lot of the same challenges. Yeah. Of course, we have historically been threatened, burned at the cross, burned at the stake, had our properties taken from us, been disempowered, particularly the women, because we were healers historically. We were the wise women of the villages long before the Christian ethic took over. So there was that power struggle, which thankfully those times have passed. We also were recognized in many countries as being a legal recognized religion. And that's important, that whole concept of having devil worship. The devil isn't part of our pantheon. He's not our construct. That's a Christian construct. It's not ours. So that's kind of something that we have to fight against on a regular basis. If you've heard of Wiccan orgies or Sabbats where women or men or both circle naked under the stars, it's true. We do occasionally practice sky-clad because sky-clad means that we're removing all of those earthly trappings that set us apart, that make us higher and lower and better or lesser than. That's not something we do all the time, and it's something that's sacred to us. And we very, very rarely do it out here on the West Coast because there's mosquitoes. However, as I said, mirth and reverence is important, right? That's part of the charge of the goddess. So those are misconceptions and some ideas that I want to let you know that are real, that really do work for us. We do have regular circles. We circle at the full moon and at the dark of the moon and 8 times a year for our special Sabbats. We normally circle in smaller groups because they're almost like family groups, and there's a special dynamic that works with a small number of people that changes when that number gets larger. So that is true. So if you've heard of a Wiccan coven, which is a pejorative word, I would caution you against using it unless you are one yourself. So the term is Wiccan, the religion is Wicca, and yeah, I think that's good for now. Thank you.
Thank you. If we turn off these lights, we don't create darkness. Darkness is absence of light. And evil and devil is absence of knowledge, of kindness, of unity, of love, of friendship, of togetherness. Baha'is being persecuted, especially in Iran, because of their beliefs. Of course, the politicians or clergies, they say that the Baha'is are, the holy places are in Israel. So basically, they are spies of Israel, of England, of America, and whatever. And they want to destroy the country and destroy Islam. And of course, when you look at the history, Baha'is, or the leader of the Baha'i faith, Baha'u'llah, was exiled by 2 kings, emperors. One was of Persia, one was of the Ottoman Empire. And they were sent to so many different prisons and different places. And at the end, they sent him with the whole family to Haifa. Haifa and Akka. And that was then, it was under ruling of Ottoman Empire. And Akka was a small town that it was full of criminals. It was so much filth that even birds wouldn't go there. They couldn't survive. And then, of course, the rest of the political thing happened. So they say, you guys are spies of Israel. You are anti-God. I remember in Canada, educated young man, when noticed I was a Baha'i, he said, I cannot believe it. And I said, why? He says, because you're a nice man. I said, what does it mean? He says, but I hear the Baha'is are this, this, this. I don't want to go through that list, dirty list. And you cannot be a Baha'i because you seem normal, you seem good. And as a Muslim, I heard so much that Baha'is worship devil. Baha'is do not have marriage. Baha'is do not believe in God. Baha'is are anti-humanity. And actually, this was for my father, who was a very sort of practicing Muslim, but not going to the mosque. So he had his rebellious. And he heard these things and he went and investigated about Baha'i faith. So one of the videos I saw recently on YouTube, one of the mullahs, clergies in Iran, says, listening to these Baha'is, that they say man and woman are equal in the eyes of God and in society. And they say they believe in progressive revelation. And they say that they are Iranians and they love Iran, but they are spies of Israel. So they cannot go to university. And even recently, which wasn't recently, about 10 years ago, they started, because they kicked out even the professors who were Baha'is. And they said, those professors says, okay, all the kids who graduate from high school can come to these houses, and we're going to have homeschooling. And on basically distance, you can communicate with the universities across, around the world. But as soon as the regime found out, they put those teachers in jail, and they are still in jail. So they cannot have a good business because they want to really get rid of this Baha'i community in Iran. They cannot have any worship sessions. They cannot get together for any religious reading or praying or whatnot. They even bomb, some people bomb their Baha'i stores. And they kill Baha'is, but the government doesn't do anything about it. And even in some of outside of Iran, there are Baha'is in Egypt, there's Baha'is in everywhere. And but wherever there is hard clergy, they try to persecute them. And we had cases in Africa, we had in Yemen, we had in Egypt, we had in a lot of Arab countries. And Baha'is, they believe that all these religions are from God, are holy. And I believe in holiness of Jesus Christ and Moses and Buddha and so on. And that's how I get to Baha'u'llah. And I believe in Muhammad and all the teachings. Although some of the teachings may not work for now, but I have nothing against them. But they tell the clergies, and they brainwash people, and uneducated people, they even burn houses. They went to the cemetery and destroyed all the resting places of the Baha'is. Anyway, so I can't think more of that.
I'm conscious of time, and so I'm going to save our fourth question for afterwards. So, and just for you to know, the fourth question is, what is it about your faith that you cherish and feel that the world needs? So that'll be our last question, but we'll start with it in our question and answer. It's the teaser, that's right. It's the commercial. Thank you so much for your grace, for your courage of practicing your faith, and for the wisdom and love that you have all demonstrated. Thank you so much. Thank you. Let us rise to sing, Bring Many Names.